is really making sure that your partnerships are a two-way street, that it works good for both of you, you know, that you're providing them a good investment as well as they're providing you what you need. If you're gonna halfway do it, you're wasting your time. If you're gonna halfway do your marketing program, you're wasting your time. If you don't wanna put together a social media program, you're wasting your time, because that's what these partners are looking for, and it's what they expect, and it's what the guy who's next to you is doing, and they're gonna choose you over them.
Well, that was Mr. Lauren Healy. I just thought I'd throw that in there for you. Yeah. Guys, this is Hitch with See You on the Trail. How y'all doing? We're here for another podcast. I am on location at Team SCR in Ponder, Texas, correct?
We're halfway between Ponder and Justin.
Okay, halfway. Yeah, yeah. Eat up in the mic. But good deal. Now, we're here with Cody St. Clair.
Yep.
You're an old face in the racing, but a young face in person.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and start out from the beginning. When did you first get your bug to be on four wheels?
Well, at a young age, when I was about 4 or 5, I used to do quads, little 90cc's. Dad raced dirt track, so it's kind of always around it. But about 9, I kind of got out of it, kind of got bored with it, got into recreational wheeling, bought a YJ and all that, and then Dirt Right came around and built the YJ up for that, and then that was at 14, and after that, been racing ever since.
Now, let's see, what was your first race ever?
It was Bryan.
Bryan, Texas?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the one with all the switchbacks in it. That was fun.
Yes, that was the first race, and it was supposed to be an hour race. They bumped it to 2. And if it would have stayed 1, I would have won it.
Yeah, that's one that Dad was talking about yesterday at the Crawfish Bowl.
Yeah.
So that's very cool. And that was with the YJ.
Yes.
The little green YJ. And then I believe the time, you were there and so was I at Bryan, but I don't think we ran into each other. But you guys did the Buzz the Red Dog in 2013.
Yeah, Dad and Mark did.
That's right. You had to go to school or something.
I was in school, but I was there on the weekend.
I got you. Yeah. Now, that was fun. That was, you. What was it? Mark and Anthony were what? They were like 30 feet from the finish and didn't smoke the transmission? Or was that at a different race?
No, that was that race. It was like 1 or 2 years you did it.
Mm-hmm.
The first year, I think, was the transmission.
Yep.
The second year, they didn't commit to the ski jump, cased it, and bent the housing, and then pulled it into the bar and welded it up.
Yep. I remember that because everybody was working on it that night. Mm-hmm. I remember that. Yeah, Buzz the Red Dog is something we're working on. I did a podcast last week with the owners of Crossbar Ranch.
Yeah.
And we're in works to try to seriously consider doing a series, a Midwest series, bring back Dirt Riot grassroots racing. We're going to try. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But let's go on. Let's see here. When did you first get into Ultra 4?
I was about 16. First ever Ultra 4 race was in the YJ at Hammers. Never raced it. Always went to watch. And made it a quarter mile and blew the shock apart and the spring shot everywhere. And went up and over short bus. Of course, we only had coilovers and bump stops. So the whole way back, we rode on the bump stop.
So not the greatest turnout at Hammers.
No. And looking back, that Jeep would have just beat us up.
Oh, yeah. Like
stock frame YJ on Ford axles and a 14 bolt on 37s. It wasn't
it's
the
a
fastest.
Yeah.
But it's been places.
Yeah, it has.
It's been all over Hammers when I was on springs, leaf springs.
Jeez. Yeah, I was looking at, you're talking about stock rigs, 4600 class, Mick Henson in that little old, beat up Toyota.
That 80s Toyota.
Well, you know what's funny is he raced a different Toyota, same color, at Hammers this year.
Yeah.
He raced the Rusty Nail.
Yes.
Guys. And then he still kept his Yoda back at camp, or back at his house here in Tahlequah, Oklahoma. And so he got to race a different, he actually prepped that Toyota like 2 months prior. So
I think that's the one he did at, he raced at
Rush?
Rush.
Did he race that
Rusty
one too?
Nails at.
Okay.
On the side.
I know he has to run the same number to keep his points and all that. So Your Dirt Riot years. You ran, what class were you in Dirt Riot?
Super Mod. Yeah.
So you fell underneath, your consistent competitors were Mark Davis,
Dwayne
Garrison,
Shelby
St. Clair? Gilstrap. Shelby Gilstrap, because yeah. she had the old rock crawler. That's
she
right.
had the pink zebra.
Yep, the pink zebra. And then who? Anybody else in that class that was consistent with in the Central Series at least? I don't think so. I think that was it.
Yeah, wasn't a whole lot.
I saw Mark's car. It's at Disney. It's sitting at we did the podcast last. Mm-hmm. It's sitting directly across the street under a tarp. Right. Yeah. It hasn't been budged. It's like that house, that cabin he's got there. Mm-hmm. It's just going to crap. But anyway, yeah. Let's see. So how many years did you, you did basically Dirt Riot until it closed, right?
A couple years before it closed is when we swapped to Ultra 4.
That's right. You did. So you got rid of the YJ, the green YJ. Yeah. I'll post a picture or something.
We stole basically all the parts off it, minus the front end. Swapped it to the new chassis, spent a year building it. And then from there, we finished that car 2016 and been racing it ever since.
Yeah. Yeah. Because I remember
2023. So it's seven, 8 year old car now.
And time flies. Because I remember when I couldn't sit there and have a beer with you.
Mm-hmm.
And now, what was it? It was 2020 that I did the video for Hammers when I covered you guys at Hammers.
Yeah.
And that was the first year you ever finished, right?
It was either 20 or 21.
Okay, whatever.
It was 21.
Was it 21?
Because 21 was the first year I finished in...
That's right, it was 21.
I turned 21 October 20th.
That's right, and that, whenever you cross the finish line, I told you, that's why you never had finished, because you couldn't have a beer at the finish line. Mm-hmm. So, tell us about your chassis and your car, and where did it come from, who built it, and then how you guys finished that out. Tell us the whole story behind that.
So... when we were racing the YJ, we beat it to death, started cracking the frame, and then we decided it was time to build a chassis, a tube chassis. So we went to Adam when they were back at their old shop, and he went through and built us one of the first 4,500 cars, and I think one of the only 4,500 cars he's built. And when PSC first came out with their servo steering setup, my car... and Lindsay's were like the first two cars to have them.
Lindsay Gilstrap.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
When
what's the servo steering? Can you explain that
a
little bit more in detail?
It's basically an orbital, but it doesn't work until there's feedback from a steering box. So it's a through shaft, works like an orbital, but it has to have manual feedback from a box to be able to actually work.
I gotcha. And so the reason why you do this, for people that don't know the rules, in the 4,500 class, you have to have mechanical steering. Is that correct?
Yeah, you have to have a form of mechanical, and you're allowed assist.
Okay.
So we have just a non-power Saginaw box, and then our full double-ended hydro ram is our assist.
Okay.
Essentially.
Cool. Essentially. I got you. Okay.
So if we wanted to, we could take the box off, go to orbital, four-link it, and we'd be a 4,800 and pull bypasses off.
Okay.
That's really the only difference.
Okay. Cool. That's what I was going to ask the next thing. You answered it already. But that's the 4,500 class, which is considered the stock mod class. What do they call it?
Modified
class.
I think 48s, they consider it a Legends.
Yes, Legends. And Legends are the old 4,400
supposed
cars.
To be the old 44s.
But now they've made it competitive to where it's actually trying to be the best. So they're building new cars to be in the 4,800 class.
Yeah.
I think Cade Rod was one of the first ones to do that in the 4,800.
Mm-hmm. What does Jimmy's?
Yeah, it was a Jimmy's chassis. Yeah. Well, his dad
there's a lot
Jimmy's.
Of Jimmy's chassis.
Yeah.
In the 48s.
No, I mean, Cade, he's an heir to the the Rod father.
Yep.
Speaking, God bless the Rod father.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if Randy actually listened to podcasts. I don't know. Okay, now next, you got that chassis. And then, in fact, I was at a crawl. I was actually flipping through Facebook, my old Facebook memories, and I saw where that car was getting built at a crawfish boil.
Yeah.
So... show you how long Crawfish Boil has been going on. We've been doing it for a long time.
Ever since the old shop.
Yep. Ever since, that was where it was built. Yeah. It was still on the jig table.
It was on the jig table with I think it was just the driver's hoop.
The picture I have has skins on it, but it's still on the jig table.
Yeah, it had skins, but it wasn't ready for the axles yet.
That's right.
Because we got it as full interior with body panels, rolling, shocks mounted, all that.
Yep.
And then we went through and did everything else.
Yeah, so they just basically added
a rolling chassis.
Gave you a rolling chassis.
Yeah. Cool. We supplied the axles and whatnot, what transmission, what motor we're going to use.
Gotcha.
And they have mock-up ones that they have.
Yeah. Well, like that new trail chassis that was in their lobby yesterday, mm-hmm. that was pretty.
Yeah.
You know, that's already sold.
Yeah.
Gee, mini Christmas. It's crazy.
Yeah.
But you guys finished it out here in the shop that we're sitting in right now.
Yeah.
Awesome. That's very cool. And your dad, right?
Yeah.
You and your dad and
Mark
friends.
And friends, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Whoever came over that day.
And you supplied the beer, they supplied the work? Because that would have worked
basically out.
Well, you supplied the apple juice at that point in time.
I supplied the waters and the sodas.
Let's see here. Let's go through. Let's see. 2021 was when you first finished KOH.
Mm-hmm.
If you go back on our YouTube channel and also Team SCR, their Facebook page and everything, you'll see that docuseries that what I did. I did 4 or 5 videos.
Yeah.
And in fact, I think one of my first podcasts, no, it wasn't my first podcast, but it was right when I started season 3.
Mm-hmm.
I put out the whole interview that we did on the lake bed.
Yeah.
And it's on the podcast on Spotify and all that. So you can learn a little bit more history about him there. What I mean, racing ain't cheap.
No.
And they always say, how do you become a millionaire racing? You start out a billionaire.
Yeah.
So how do you guys afford racing?
Well, about 3 years ago, I got hired on with American. I do GSD work on all the ground equipment. Dad was aircraft, went to Tulsa because they closed Fort Worth base.
Mm-hmm.
From there, he actually transferred to facilities, and that got him back to DFW. So the last 7 years, 8 years, whatever, he's been actually facilities on the same base, DFW
cool.
Airport.
So you guys work the same shift and all that?
He works third, I work afternoons.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Cool. So you got to go to work right after this.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Good.
I go save the airport.
I've flown in there and out of there, but I've never left. I've driven through there.
Because
I remember as a kid, we'd drive from Oklahoma to Six Flags.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the quickest way to go at the time.
Yeah.
Quickest way to go was to run through. It always cost $3.
Mm-hmm.
It was a mess. So... But did you go to school for mechanicing or anything like that?
You went to a Universal Institute over there off 635 in Irving.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to do just auto, but they said if you do auto and diesel, it's not much more. So I actually took both courses. So I have a degree in auto and diesel and repair and mechanic, whatever you want to call
it. Gotcha. A&P, basically.
Yeah.
That's cool. And then... But you've been wrenching on stuff since you were a kid.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we're sitting right over here. Right over here is a little 12 valve that you're rebuilding.
Yeah.
And that's going to go into what?
It's going into a 98 cab chassis.
Gotcha. Cool. Very cool.
So, yeah, I've been, ever since Dad had his dirt cars.
Okay.
I'd always open them.
So he used to do roundy-round stuff?
Oh, yeah. Dirt roundy-round.
Yeah. Okay. Well, we may get him up here in just a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll have a little fun with him. What else we got here? Let's keep on going. First, got your first bug in Ultra 4. Now, currently, we've done what?
Two races
so far. What's your current standings right now?
I don't know about current standings, but any cameras, we DNF'd with 4th or 5th place because we cracked tail housing on a stock 400.
Right.
And then Rush, we ended up placing 2nd.
Second place.
Second place podium. In class and 4th overall.
I'm proud to wear that hat right there. That's what Greg Mulkey said, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how long is it? Let's see. You've got, I know Raceline's been sponsoring you for a while.
Yeah.
You got Cooper Tires.
Cooper Tires.
You're one of the only cars with Cooper Tires, right?
Yeah. There was us and one other car, and I don't know if they're still
racing.
I think it was up for sale not too long ago.
I got you. Cool.
But yeah, we're...
Who else you got as sponsors right now?
We got Dave's Off-Road out of PA, Pennsylvania. Full Throttle Batteries.
Yeah, those guys. Didn't they meet you at one of the Unlimited Off-Road Expos that you did?
It was either that or we talked to them at SEMA.
That may have been. Because we've met at SEMA a couple times, too.
Yeah. Let's see who else.
Look at your panels, like everybody else.
Yeah, we got Torco.
Custom Splice still hooks you up.
Yeah.
Oh, Todd.
Yeah.
Rigid lighting still? And of course, Tribe, who built the chassis.
Tribe, yeah. PCI helps us out.
Oh, Torco.
Torco, yeah.
You're still with Torco.
Yeah, we run all their fluids. Yeah. Engine, transmission, rear end.
Cool. Very neat. Let's see here. Let's go with, what was the most exciting time that you can ever remember in a car?
Well, every time.
Stick up by the mic.
Every time, after every race, is getting out of the car because you're just sore.
Yeah.
The way I drive, I'm not like a straight up on the gas pedal kind of driver. My foot always lean into the right, so I'm on the ball on my heel. So, and my leg's kind of bent. So, like after hammers, usually right after you get out of that car, it's Advil and a beer.
That's the most exciting time is the finish?
Yeah. Just to know that you're done and you can relax and not have to worry about the race anymore.
Gotcha. And you see that checkered flag. Because I was there right there whenever you finished hammers for the first time.
Yeah.
That was a relief.
Yeah.
You and Mark and your dad, that was a big moment.
We did half of lap one and all of lap two with, I think, both coilovers being blown out on my side.
I remember you coming in and it was squeaking a little bit. It was hot, too.
Yeah.
It was way hot. That was so cool. Seeing your dad watch you finish, that was epic. And he was wearing my hat, which I thought was real cool, too.
Yeah.
So that's the most exciting time. What is the most scariest time you've ever had in a car?
Oh, most scariest. I can't really pinpoint one per se, but when you're strapped into a car and you take a bad bounce and it's acting like it's going to go over and there's really not a whole lot you can do, that's probably one of the scary parts.
Because there's nothing you can do.
Nothing that you can do. You're strapped in. You got to go for a ride. I hadn't had a bad roll. I have rolled in the YJ. But on this car, I've been close, but it hasn't happened yet.
That car's never been on its lid.
No. It's been on fire, but it's never rolled.
Now you mentioned fire.
So Tennessee, I think it was 4 years, 5 years ago now, we were 10 minutes from finishing. And fuel line came undone, laid over on our pillow shaft for our front drive shaft, rubbed a hole, filled up the skid plate, and coming down a little up-down, well, we came back up, all that fuel sloshed and lit off the hot headers. And it just backdrafted into the through the fire boxes or the foot boxes.
Yeah. Well, into the
where
boxes.
Where all our holes are cut out for like the hydro boost and all our stuff to pass through it, all backdrafted.
And that was you and Mark were in that car.
Yeah.
And tell us how that happened. Once it went off, what'd you do? What was your first instance? And
you get hot fire, you're strapped in the car, first thing to do is get out. Well, your 5-part harness, kind of, you got to take some steps to get out. But what really caused me to get burned is we were kind of rushed because we were in line and we kind of got rushed to get ready. My Hans got hooked up wrong. So usually it goes my straps to my helmet and then the shoulder straps go on the outside. Usually I can just unbuckle it and everything comes at once. Well, this time, somehow, my shoulder straps were inside the straps that go to my helmet. So when I took everything loose, I couldn't get them off.
Oh, geez.
So I literally crawled out of the car with my helmet and all that still on and just basically folded myself over the side of the car to get out.
Oh, geez. Wow. And so what was your thoughts at that moment?
I was trying to get out. Kicking the fire away, thinking it'd do something. It really didn't. It just started up.
Yeah. So it was still, it wasn't like a flashbang. It was still
on fire.
Wow.
Yeah. Everything from the dashboard was completely burnt and had to be rewired. If you look at the car, some of the chassis still has burn marks. The shocks are burnt. Firewall.
And nothing. Now, what injuries did you sustain in that?
I made it out pretty lucky. For all I had was, I had third-degree burns on my ankles, so I had to get skin grafts. The left one is just a small spot, but the right one actually goes around and over my Achilles heel.
Mm-hmm.
So the doctor said I'm actually really lucky.
It didn't get your Achilles?
Yeah, because I was only out of work for 5 weeks.
That's not bad. If, I mean, it's still bad. But
if it would have burned my Achilles, it would have been like 4 to 5 months.
Wow. That's crazy. I was listening to a Joe Rogan podcast about, you said Achilles heel. To now what they do is they take Achilles heel from a cadaver,
mm-hmm.
and they can replace your ACL and your MCL with that, making it like 10 times stronger than what it was before.
Yeah.
That's freaking technology. Medical technology is crazy nowadays.
Oh, it's advanced so far.
So you got out of the car finally.
Mm-hmm.
Mark was okay. Mark didn't sustain any problems.
Yeah, Mark was fine.
What'd you guys do then?
We used every extinguisher we had. We have two 2-pounders and 2 5-pounders. We used all of it.
Really?
Yeah. And it was burnt to the point you turn the master on, everything came on. Radios, fuel pump, everything.
Wow.
It was all burnt together.
That's amazing. That's scary, is what it is. Really big. So then you basically got the fire out with what you had on extinguishers that is required by Ultra 4 for safety.
Yeah.
And then you have to radio back to your dad to let you know that you're burnt.
Yeah. Well, I think we tried radio back to him, but couldn't get him, so we actually radioed Weatherman.
Weatherman, race ops, which is, okay.
They actually red flagged the race to figure out where we were. We ended up walking through the woods, some through some little field where there was a house with a chain fence, back to pit row, and from there, I basically went to the hospital still in the race suit.
Yeah. Now that you're looking back at it, what was something that you think could have prevented the accident or prevented your injuries?
Probably lining up a little earlier. So now we line up 30 minutes to an hour before.
Yeah.
Just so we're not rushed.
Okay. And so then, you think by the seatbelt, the Hans device not being done correctly, that's what caused you to actually get burnt?
I didn't have the right shoes on that race.
Great. Okay, the right shoes. Yeah. So race shoes, fire socks, fire shoes.
Yeah, I have race shoes now. I make sure they're always in the bag, and the bag gets loaded, and I got race socks.
So I think last podcast you actually said it, you were a poster child for
fire socks. I was
the
poster child for fire socks.
For fire socks, because I know a lot of guys with Ultra 4, there's a chance that you might be walking a long ways to get back to pit. So a lot of the guys wear tennis shoes, wear work boots.
Yeah,
they'll wear anything, that whatever's comfortable that they know they can run in, and they don't wear the fire shoes and all that. And honestly, the fire shoes, they're not comfortable. I don't like them at all. I've worn them once, and I was like,
I've worn a pair out already.
Oh, have you?
Yeah, I'm on my second pair.
Of course, you have been racing a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So, but then, now this is something we're going to start doing at some point in time. We're not going to do it today, but we're going to try to do, you know, like Top Gear, how they have the they have the racing, and we're going to put people in their cars when they're on the podcast and see how quickly they can get out of their race car, and then that's going to be the competition for every podcast going forward. Mm-hmm. I think we'll probably start that on the next season, and that hopefully we can get everybody with their cars.
Yeah,
that's the hard part.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is a pretty mobile setup, so I think we may be able to actually, I was hoping to get everybody to my studio, and it's hard to do with no budget.
Yeah.
Speaking of budget, let's go ahead and talk about our sponsors, we only have one right now. It's Territory Whiskey. They're based out of Purcell, Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
They're on their fourth batch right now. I was going to give you this bottle, but the crawfish boil kind of took a little bit extra out of us. Yeah. But we're going to take a test of it, and then I want you to tell me what you exactly think.
All right.
Just a small sip. I know you got to go to work, so.
It's kind of got a cinnamon hit, like a fireball.
Yep.
But it's not bad.
It's a pecan cinnamon liqueur, so it's not actually technically a whiskey. It's a whiskey liqueur. I love it. And so does my girlfriend, and that's why there's not much left in this bottle. Next time I see you, I'll have a bottle for you. Jamie, we need to get him a bottle. And Jamie Howard's the owner. He's out of Purcell. I met him at a tasting at a dive bar in Noble, Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know I met the owner. I thought he was just one of the guys that was doing a tasting, one of the guys that works for Territory or whatever, a distributor or whatever. And I bugged him up and down about this hat. I was like, I want this hat. And he's like, I got to give it away. And I'm like, I'll pay for it. No, uh-uh. So my girlfriend went up and nagged him about it. Finally, he said, just take the hat. Well, then, like a month later, I send him a message on Facebook. I was like, hey, I think we need to get together and be on this podcast together. And he's like, oh, let me check it out. He goes, call me. Called him, figured out that he was the owner doing the tasting. I'm mm-hmm. like, this is cool. And he goes, let's make the deal. Meet me at the horse racing track. I got a horse. I was like, all right, we'll bet on your horse. That failed miserably. The horse was, he slammed into the horse next to him and couldn't get the whole shot. And it was a quarter horse race, so it was mm-hmm. short. So we still made the deal, though.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is my one and only sponsor right now. So we're on our first official podcast tour.
Yeah.
So anyway, thank you, Territory Whiskey. What else? Let's see. What's your future plans? Where are you going this year?
So we're going to, we did Hammers, we did Rush. We're going to do all the East Coast Visions and then make a 5-hour shorter trip to basically Hammers again for Nationals.
Okay.
And Lake Yvasa is only 5 hours from where Hammers is held.
Yeah, that's right. I was talking to JT. I called JT about working because I worked race ops at Nationals. Let's talk about Nationals too. This last year at Nationals. Yeah. I was running race ops for the first time,
yeah.
Weatherman, whatever you want to call it. And the bad part is I had to be the announcement that you were the first out of the race.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us what happened there.
So, like when I said earlier, we stole all the parts from the YJ to build the car we have now. That included the CCU V14 bolt
mm-hmm.
that we shaved 2 inches on, trussed it, converted it to disc. Yada yada, what everyone always does.
Mm-hmm.
Well, 1 year, some guy ran into us and bent the passenger snout spindle, and a whole bunch of shit happened there. Replaced it, and then that was 4 years ago, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And then this last year at Nationals, we took off, we're going, smacked a big ass rock, popped the tire, broke the other spindle. And just sheared it right off where it nicks up for the seal is right where it broke.
Oh, geez. So there's no repairing it.
No. We have another one, another spindle to put in there, but saving it to put it back in the YJ and try to unibearing it.
I got you.
Make a 1460 is what I'm calling it.
That's what we were talking about yesterday. I do remember that. That's not much I remember from last night, but that is that's one thing. Of course, it was early in the day.
Yeah. So after that, we decided it's time to build a new rear end. We got with a guy, one of our friends up in Tulsa. He built the housing for us, and we shipped all the parts he needed to build it. And when we got it, we put a Gearworks 35 spline spool and all that in there, and Brainix unibearing cups and unibearings and axle shafts and all that. And now we have a sheet metal rear end.
Wow. Okay, cool.
Yeah. So it's sheet metal front and rear now.
Okay. Yeah. You know, the funny thing is that the first time I ever heard about them doing axles made out of sheet metal. And when I think of sheet metal, I think like...
You think thin stuff.
Thin stuff.
Yeah.
And I was selling those big Axle Tech axles. Remember mm-hmm. that years ago?
Yeah.
And a guy, DMB Motorsports out of... where is it? It's Tuttle, Oklahoma, I think is where they're out of or something like that. They bought all the independent Axle Tech axles I had. I think they were called the 5500.
Mm-hmm.
They bought all of them and then made them solid axle out of sheet metal.
Yeah.
So what makes sheet metal so much stronger than everything else?
Material. The cast, it's strong, mm-hmm. but it's also heavy.
I gotcha.
So over time, cast doesn't really like to flex and flex back
mm-hmm.
repeatedly. So over time, they crack, they break. But the sheet metal stuff, they're more forgiving.
I gotcha. So now I know, one of my buddies, Louis Keener, he had a TJ back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
and he bragged about, and I don't think this was sheet metal. I believe it was aluminum. It was aluminum steering stable or steering bar.
Mm-hmm.
Not Panhard. But
like a tie rod.
Yeah, like a tie rod. But he had it made out of aluminum, and he called it memory metal because mm-hmm. it likes to bend back to its original yeah. thing, where cast or yeah. steel won't
tubes,
do that.
They bend. They yep. don't.
They don't come back. Yeah. But the aluminum one, he called it memory metal. It'd go yeah. back to itself. So that's does that have the similar traits that cast or that sheet metal does?
In
is
a way,
it,
yeah.
It is? Okay. Yeah. You know more about it than I do. That's yeah. why I'm asking.
Well, we had steel lowers when we built the car,
mm-hmm.
bent them, and then we went to Brannick and got his aluminum lowers.
And you haven't had a problem since?
No. They're yeah. scratched, but they're not bent.
Yeah. Well, everything's going to get scratched underneath a Ultra 4 car.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you have UHMW on it, too.
Mm-hmm.
We actually use a lot of UHMW on our bucket trucks at my real job.
Yeah.
And I actually found out where Ape bought his UHMW for mm-hmm. his Sniper Fab car.
Yeah.
And I went to them, and I was like, hey, can you guys cut this stuff? Yeah, sure. So we made it we made the parts that we needed for the bucket truck about 75% cheaper because I knew exactly where to go because Ape is a mm-hmm. penny pinching son of a bitch.
Well, if you really want to pinch pennies, find a McDonald's that's getting rid of all their play shit. Mm-hmm. The polyboard is essentially the same thing.
No joke.
Yeah.
Well, we know a guy that owns a McDonald's. You know that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Mr. Terhune, you out there, Fathead? But Fathead owns a couple of McDonald's.
Yeah, because Mark, he does all the interior installations for the McDonald's and whatnot.
Okay.
And every so often, they change all that stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
So we had like 5 or 6 sheets of blue that we'd cut skid plates out of and bolt all that to like a 1/4-inch aluminum sheet. And that was our skid plate.
Nice. Very yeah. cool. There is ways to cut corners and still race and still mm-hmm. place and still be on the podium
yep.
using McDonald's shit.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never forget the first time I met Terhune. I asked him, I said, so what do you do? He goes, I work at McDonald's. And I said, and you race Ultra 4. That's impossible.
Yeah.
And he goes, I kind of own a couple of them. I was like, okay, now it makes sense.
Yeah.
So, okay, now back to future racing. You're planning on racing everything in the Central or East Series is
yeah.
what they call it.
East Coast, yeah.
East Coast, which you got Rush. I guess Visions would be next.
Visions is double, so it's East and West.
Okay. And that's a big deal. Visions yeah. is fun. When is that? Is that?
That's 2 months from now.
2 months from now?
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what.
June.
If you've never been to Mid-America Off-Road Park, go.
Yeah.
I mean, they blow, I would say, almost every park in the nation out of the water.
Yeah, just the amenities. The pool.
The Lazy River. And you can sit at the pool.
Shower houses.
Yeah, the shower houses with the maid that sits there and waits on you to get out. And then they'll go clean it.
Mm-hmm.
And the bathrooms are like a hotel bathroom.
Yeah.
You got a tub, shower, sink, everything right mm-hmm. there. They got cabins.
Mm-hmm.
You can sit at the Lazy River and watch the racing at the same time.
Yeah, they got a big live stream.
Yep. Well, they got the live stream, plus you can actually see the race mm-hmm. course from
yeah.
there.
You see all the short course.
Yeah. Did you ever make it into the media room there?
No.
The media room is just off if you're looking at the race course sitting on the Lazy River. They have the splash pad in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
But if you look off to the right, there's a building over there, mm-hmm. just on the other side of the fence.
Yeah.
That's the media room. You walk in, there's like 17 bunk beds in there.
Oh, yeah.
All around the walls. And one wall has about 8 big, huge TVs. And that's where they do all their productions, sport TV, speed sports TV. And,
yeah.
But they used to allow independent promoters like mm-hmm. me, such yeah. independent media creators, they used to let them borrow it and stay in it
mm-hmm.
just to get the media coverage. And so they have a clubhouse or a pro shop is what they
yeah.
call it, with a coffee shop in it.
And a restaurant.
Yeah, now they have that steakhouse.
Good. Yeah.
They've got the outdoor bar mm-hmm. next to the pool with a stage right there, all right there. And then you go across to where Jason's house is, and then he's got a full shop
mm-hmm.
with a full bar in it.
Yeah.
And then right next to it is an amphitheater
mm-hmm.
that, if any of you have ever been to Zoo Amp in Oklahoma City, it rivals Zoo Amp size. It's huge.
Mm-hmm.
Then behind that are the quarter-mile drag, dirt drags.
Sand dragsters, yeah.
Sand dragsters. I mean, it's just, everywhere you turn, there's something
cool.
And
they're adding more stuff.
Well, I went there, what was it, Memorial Day after the first Visions.
Mm-hmm.
And he... Across the short course from the pool, there is a, on top of that hill,
Yeah, that Tough Truck Challenge course.
Yeah, it's like an ATV, though. It's made for four-wheelers.
Yeah.
But the cool thing is they built it into the ground, and there's a bar top all the way around the outside. So you can sit there and look down and watch the racing.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed they were building something on the far end of the short course to the right from the pool. To the right, you keep going down there.
Yeah.
There's a big square there, and I think that's going to be a burnout or a tug-of-war pad.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. And then, I mean, who else but Mr. Travis Pastrana is building something out there also. Yeah. It's going to be like
Rally Cross or something.
It's going to be Rally Cross. I think it's going to be basically his playground.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to do like a school out there maybe. I'm not sure. They haven't released all the information, but it's neat to see what they're doing. And then have you ever been to S'more?
No, I haven't been to S'more.
Okay. Well, I know they did one Ultra 4 race at S'more in 2008, nine, something like that. And between Dave and Brandon, they didn't work it out very well. And not to mention, his park is only 930 acres.
Mm-hmm.
So he had to shut down the whole park,
yeah,
which kills his gate entry fees. And there's the woods and everything, there's no real good viewing area. So it's not a good place for Ultra 4, and that's why they haven't been back. Yeah. But that place is another place that held the candle until MAO took it over.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next park, I guess, in Oklahoma would be Crossbar.
Yeah.
Crossbar's 5,500 acres.
Something like that.
And they're adjacent to, they connect with, what's that? Falls.
Twin Falls?
No, not Twin Falls. Turner Falls. Turner Falls. And that's a big area.
Mm-hmm.
But it's both owned by the city, but Crossbar leases it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but you can buy a combo pass and drive your side-by-side down to Turner Falls if you want to.
Yeah.
And they do laser light shows out there, too. So that was cool.
The last time we raced there, part of the racetrack actually went almost directly to and then 90'd away from where all the big stages and stuff were
for Turner.
For the concert.
Oh, for Turner. Yeah.
It was like it came right up to it, and then we turned away from it on lap one.
Wow, that's cool.
Yeah.
Now I know that Justin and Trot, those are the two owners. They lease it from the city is what they do. They always listen to these. What was your honest opinion of the Ultra 4 course there? You've raced there three, four times now?
Yeah, ever since they started going there.
I think they've had nationals there 3 years, and then they had the one race where all the mud and everything happened.
Yes, so that was the first year.
Yeah, the first year, but it wasn't a nationals.
9 inches of rain the day before the race.
Yeah.
So there was no qualifying. We drew chips out of a bucket.
Yeah, that's right.
I forgot about that. I was lucky enough to draw number one. Yeah. And slicker, it was 10 times slicker than Rush was this year. We didn't even make it a lap. We got stuck, and we were down there for 7 hours. We had to wait till the 44s were done.
You were stuck right there where Ape was running recovery, weren't you?
Yeah, yeah.
Ape said he had to splice like 5 or 6 winch ropes that day because they just kept breaking. Yeah. It was nasty.
Well, we had to pull a car backwards. I think we dredged up 400 pounds of mud into the skid plate, all up around the converter, up on the back of the engine, everywhere.
That's one thing about Ultra 4 racing is it doesn't matter if it's raining, sleeting, snowing.
Yeah.
To be honest, you've probably raced in all seasons.
Yeah.
918.
California snow. Had snow one year.
What now?
Hammers had snow one year.
That's right.
Out in the desert.
Yeah.
It was white and then just two brown marks, tire marks. You just followed it.
What'd you think about racing in the snow?
It's fun, but the car doesn't like it. being the spool, once the rear end starts outpowering the front, it just wants to go sideways.
Gotcha.
But it's fun for a change.
What's your favorite conditions to run in?
A little bit of rain, knock the dust down, but not muddy, and 70, 80 degree weather, which we never really get together.
No, yeah, you never do.
No.
I remember one year at Copper Mines, we were racing at Copper Mines, which that's another, we need to, I'll talk to you off camera about this. We're working on having a secret race at Copper Mines. But we were at Copper Mines one year, and that was when Raymond got bit by the rattlesnake.
Mm-hmm.
Raymond's the owner, by the way, Raymond Moody, he's the owner, him and Cheryl. He got bit by a rattlesnake, and he had been taking, he'd been knocking out the rattlesnakes out there like crazy. Mm-hmm. And I was media, so I was supposed to walk the track. Well, that already had me on edge. And then the guys come back from pre-running, and Summertime is the one I specifically remember that did this. He came back and he said, he goes, I thought I was on fire. And I was like, what do you mean? You know, you're not Ricky Bobby. What happened? And what happened is whenever a car would go by, it would stir up those brown ground hornets.
Mm-hmm.
They'd come up and see what the hell's going on. Yep. And then the next car behind them
would go right through,
go through right, and come right in and sting them mm-hmm. in their chest through their fire suit.
Yeah.
And Chris stopped the car, jumped out because he thought he was on fire. He was pulling up 100% Ricky Bobby.
Mm-hmm.
But were you there for that one? It was hot. It was. I think it was the only year, the only race that we had the pool.
Probably. We were there every year till he, well, not every year. The last 3 years, 4 years before.
Yeah.
Before he said no more.
Yeah. And you said, I told you why it was no more. Yeah. It was just, it's stupid county
safety
laws.
Stuff.
And, yeah. Safety stuff. But he put up a pool and this is going to be his forever home.
Yeah.
He put up a really cool L-shaped pool that goes down to like 13 feet or something. Mm-hmm. And it was basically just for everybody to enjoy when we had came here to race.
Yeah.
County came out and said, are you charging to get in? He goes, well, yeah. And he goes, well, the county says, well, you had to put up an 8-foot fence around that. And he goes, well, I guess I'm not charging anymore, so we're closing the doors.
Yeah.
And so I don't blame him at all.
Yeah.
Still really good friends with him. Whenever they're in the city, we go have dinner with them. But
yeah,
so it's still out there, and we're still talking about doing a incognito, mm-hmm. kind of like what they did at Hammers during COVID.
Yeah.
You remember that?
Yeah.
We're not supposed to talk about that, but it didn't happen, but it was an OG. It was an OG race. That was cool that nobody really knew about it either. Yeah. And there was no cameras. Mm-hmm. I didn't see any video at all.
Mm-mm. Just pictures and photos from mm-hmm. the people there.
They're like, well, we're just out here hanging out at Hammers. No, there was a full race.
Oh, yeah.
Who won? Was it Shearer? Did Jason win that one?
Might have been.
I think it was. I think it was Shearer that won that one. But, okay, now, get back on track. Future races, you're going to race Ollie East, then Lake Havasu.
Yeah.
Havasu's going to be crazy.
Yeah, it's, from what I understand, talking to Jason, it's, from what I understand, it's going to rival or beat Wild West in the sense that I think we're going to be right there on the resort.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
But they said there was going to be boat drags?
Something like
that,
yeah.
Somebody said
boat drags?
It's going
to be right there on the resort, by the water, all that.
Wow. And then they're going to have really good spectator area, because that's what Wild West was known for.
Yeah.
That's in, where was?
Sparks, Nevada.
Sparks, Nevada, yeah. That was an awesome place, too, because you could see 90% of the race course from the grandstands.
Yeah.
So, but I'm curious to see how Havasu goes.
That was the race where Tire Balls technically got deemed illegal.
Oh, really?
After Gomez went across the line and started shooting Tire Balls out. Through this hole, a hole in the sidewall.
Yeah. He's not the only guy that's done that in Ultra 4.
No.
I remember when Shannon was trying to chase down his son, or vice versa.
Yeah.
And Shannon blew a tire, and Tire Balls were flying everywhere. Mm-hmm. I think Will Gentile got the photo of like 6 Tire Balls in the air while he's running. And Shannon ended up coming across the line with just a wheel.
Yeah, he's known for that.
Oh, yeah.
He did it at Hammers last year.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. I think it was the front left had no, just a bead.
Wow.
Bead on the where the bead lock is, and just a rim.
That's crazy. Yeah. I remember the first year I went to Hammers, which I think it was, that would be 2011, they used to run, your pit where you were camping was your main pit.
Yeah.
And they zigzagged through Hammertown as part of the race course. You had to do it at 25 mile an hour. But I remember who was the guy's name? He passed away not too long ago. He had a Trout Fab car, gray hair. Him and his son both raced. What's his name? Can't remember his name.
Yeah.
But he came through just on a rim.
Yeah.
And this is the first time that I've ever seen a race in person. I'm going, he's driving with no tire. What the heck? And he was trying to get to pit to get changed out.
Yeah.
What the heck was his name? Can't remember his name. West Coast guy, NorCal racing guy. But anyway, that was just my first, one of my first memories of KOH was sitting there and watching him drive by with just three tires. That's it. No big deal.
No. It's normal.
So Havasu's supposed to be a big deal. And I'm sure you're planning on hammers for next year. Yeah. You're not quitting the racing at all.
Not anytime soon.
Okay.
Maybe another 4 or 5 years.
4 or 5 years, unless yeah. Ford and
yeah.
RTR and all them pick you up. Well, I'll tell you what, there's only one person, I say this a lot, almost in every podcast, is there's only one person that I know that started Ultra 4 self-funded originally, and now he's doing it full-time. He doesn't have a day job. There's only one guy. It's Lauren Healy.
Yeah.
Lauren was working for Core Lab, I believe, and then and I didn't bring it. I should have. In 2013, I believe, 14, I lost all my camera equipment out the back of my truck. I was an idiot. Didn't put the tailgate down. I put my sob story up on Facebook, and Lauren gave me one of his GoPros. It's a GoPro 1. It's outdated, old.
Oh, yeah.
I gave it. So, like, 3 or 4 years ago, whenever I started doing this podcast, I asked him, I said, hey, let's do a raffle or giveaway or something. You sign this GoPro. And he said, No. Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me? And he wouldn't do it. And still to this day, I have this GoPro that I want him to sign. I say it in every podcast. Sign it. We'll do a waffle or a giveaway or something to get him to do it. But so, Lauren, sign the damn GoPro. I had my girlfriend go up to him at Nationals this last year, and she walked up and tried to get it signed, and he looks around for me. He's like, no, mm-hmm. I know exactly what this is about.
Yeah.
Oh, in our last podcast with Crossbar Ranch with Justin and Trotter, Trotter literally texted him while we were on the podcast and said, hey, I need you to sign the GoPro. And he says, immediately, not even 3 minutes after, he texts him back and goes, not for Hitch. So anyway, so cool. I guess we're almost at an hour, so I guess we're pretty much done. I'll let you get to work, and I get to drive home 2.5 hours back home. Cody, thanks for hanging out. Got any, what else? I mean, there's got to be people you want to thank and that keep you going, and what is that?
Yeah, well, work for being work. No shortage, because they like to store equipment out there. So it's job security. Dad for helping me with the car. And Tyler's not here, but he stepped in 2 years ago now to be a co-driver when Mark went through some stuff. So he's been co-driving, and he's been helpful during the races and all that. Mom, grandma, grandpa for the support.
The whole family. This is a...
Yeah,
this is a family race team. It's not,
You
guys are grassroots.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I had another racer. He's already quit racing. He actually asked. He goes, I can't believe those guys are still racing. And I said, it's a family thing. Mm-hmm. It's like you like going to the daddy-daughter dance.
Yeah.
They like working out in the shop and racing together and having something that they can do together and enjoy it. And you guys get along for the most part.
Yeah. there's been times where... not the best. It's just the little stuff sets you off.
Yeah.
But it's over stupid shit. Like you can't find the heat gun. Can't find this wrench. Can't find that socket. Well, I saw it here. Well, it's not there anymore.
It's like just, 45 minutes ago, you're looking for a tape measure.
Yeah.
It's in the center console.
It's not in the center console. It was in the bed of the truck.
It was in the bed of the truck. All right.
He's using technicality terms back there.
Almost is what he said. It was almost in the center console, but it was in the bed of the truck.
Yeah.
Okay.
By the tailgate.
Well, cool. Thank you very much for hanging out with us, man. Thanks for inviting me into your shop. Last time I was here at this shop, we changed out about 40 tires.
Yeah. The one and only time that tire machine has done 43 TSLs.
Yeah. Well, those were Arturos that we... No, they... We took off the TSLs. That's right.
Busting beads on 43s.
Yeah.
For the...
Is that for Matt Holt?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was for Matt. Yeah, we did...
It was Matt. Quentin was here.
Jay Aiken.
John.
Gatewood,
yeah.
Yeah, my buddy.
Yeah.
There's
like 6 or 7 of us.
Who else was... BG already got his done.
Yeah.
I think I had 5 racers total that I had, and we had to swap out the tires because The event that we were doing,
it was titled by Arturo.
Yeah, it was titled by and sponsored by Arturo Tires. So we had to run Arturo Tires, and we burnt the rubber off them things. Well, you got the one award.
Yeah.
For
the hill.
The biggest crash or king of the hill.
Whatever. Yeah. It was. I didn't. Busted a rear drive shaft on it.
Yeah, you busted the rear drive shaft on it.
Yeah. broke right at the Weld.
We got in, I don't know. No, that wasn't the year we got in trouble by the, I was doing another
No, that
event.
Was the second year.
Yeah.
Where we were over by the autocross track.
Yes.
The short course.
Yep.
The road track. The first year we were over by.
We were in the pit garages.
By the garage.
Yeah, we were in the pit garages. Actually, no, that year I had, that year, this is before Arturo came on board. That year we had six in the garage and six given rides.
Yeah.
And then we swapped out.
Yeah.
And, but there was one year, it was Shake the Stadium. It's when the Indy races happened.
Yes. That was the year that Arturo was the sponsor, I believe.
Well.
Or it was the second year.
That was a separate event, but still ran by the same people, Axel and Marvin.
Yeah.
I remember this. I was running the mega truck race.
Mm-hmm.
It was green flagging it. And Robbie Gordon came over because SST was there at that time. And Robbie goes, can I do a promo on your guys' track? We're like, hell yeah. So I got to green flag and checkered flag Robbie Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Robbie Gordon's out there tearing the hell out of everything that we were told we could not do. And Ricky Fowler was the big part of it, too.
Mm-hmm.
And Ricky's phone is going nuts from the higher up sitting up in the booth. And they're like, get him off the track. And Ricky goes, what can I do? It's Robbie fucking Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
So it was fun. That was good times. I wish we still had those shows over there.
Yeah, that was fun. I think we gave, 180 rides that day?
Every time I did the Racer's Lounge, we at least gave 150, if not more.
Yeah.
And then in Kentucky, which you never were a part of the Kentucky one, because I try to find the local racers.
Yeah.
In Kentucky, we actually had legit races.
Mm-hmm.
And then in between, we gave rides.
Yeah.
So it was fun. I wish that was still going on, man.
Yeah, that was fun because just in rides, we went through a whole tank of gas.
Yeah.
We went through 30 gallons.
Well, and it's not how much gas, it's how many smiles you made.
Yeah.
You made lifetime fans just by putting them in the car and giving them rides. And I remember one dude, he waited in line for an hour and a half. He was a big black dude, big dude. And we couldn't find a car to fit him in.
Most of the cars run small seats.
Yeah.
I'm one of the only few cars that has big seats.
The big boy seats?
Yeah.
Yeah. Who did we end up? I think we ended up shoehorning him into Quentin Hilburn's car.
Yeah.
I think that's who, but he was one of the last rides.
Yeah.
And he waited an hour and a half to do that. Made a lifetime fan.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of fans and likes, Team SCR on Facebook, Instagram.
Yeah.
IG, do you have a TikTok yet? You
no.
did that now. Just
no.
Facebook and Instagram.
Yeah.
Check them out there, 4561.
61.
I was making sure I was right.
Yeah.
4561 is his number. Look at him at all the Ultra 4 races. Look for him. He'll be in the 4500 class.
Yep.
And, man, it's 12:15. You got to get to work.
Yeah, I ain't going to be there too, but I leave for traffic.
Gotcha. No, Dallas traffic's horrible.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. At 820, that 820 35W.
Well, I take 35 and I take 114 all the way to North Entrance. Well,
we waited for like 30 extra minutes at 820 and 35 Friday. It was ridiculous. We were there that was 2 p.m. and it was still horrible. So, but man, thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
Yep.
Longtime friends.
Yep.
We've been doing stuff for probably 5 or 6 years together, media and promotional wise.
Yeah.
So,
bullshitting.
I don't think it'll quit anytime soon.
No.
So thanks, Cody. I appreciate it.
No problem.
Guys, this is Cody. I'm Hitch. We'll see you on the trail. Peace out.